You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our interview with the writer and director of Humor Me, Sam Hoffman.
All right, what's going on?
I need to make a change, Nate. You stop taking care of yourself. You're getting fat.
I'm not getting that fat.
We still don't have an ending.
They were burned alive. These people were all,
still working up on this.
I think it's better if we don't work together anymore. We're closed.
Declined.
No, he left me.
Was it unexpected?
No, we planned it a year in advance.
Call Dad. He's got that spare room.
I'm not staying with Dad. Hi, Dad.
What do you think of the place?
It's,
beige.
I can't believe you've never been here before. How long have you been working on this one?
Not long. 4 years.
Maybe Nate's blocked.
He's not being productive. Good news. I found you a job.
This is where you're going to work.
Am I getting paid for this?
Your father has garnished your wages in lieu of rent.
Dad, I'm an award-winning playwright.
I'm open to other ideas.
Welcome to the Cranberry Bog Players. This is Dee and Helen and Gert, and that's Allison. We're getting ready for our next show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Next Best Picture podcast. I'm Daniel Howitt, and I have a very special guest joining us today. Sam Hoffman created the web series Old Jews Telling Jokes, which later became a book and then a play. And before that, Hoffman had a very successful career in film, assistant directing a number of major projects, Royal Tenenbaum, School of Rock, Groundhog Day. He currently produces and directs the TV show Madam Secretary, but most recently, and the reason we're here, is that he wrote and directed the movie Humor Me, starring Jemaine Clement and Elliot Gould. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so this Humor Me is a father-son comedy about a struggling playwright who's forced to move in with his joke-telling dad in a New Jersey retirement community. Sam, I really enjoyed the film. It was a great project.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So this was your feature writing and directing debut. Is this a project that you've been sitting on for a while, or is it maybe a more recent idea?
I haven't been sitting on it. It's been gestating and in the works for probably, it takes a while to get these things going. I started writing it probably in around 2011, and I started actively trying to get it made probably around 2014. Okay. But it took a couple years to get it actually cast and financed and going. We shot it in 2016, and now it's arriving in the theaters in 2018.
Right, right. Awesome. And there seems to be some obvious connective tissue between Humor Me and Old Jews Telling Jokes. Is there? Do you almost see this as kind of an adaptation of some kind?
No, I would say it's more inspiration than adaptation.
Sure.
Because, Old Jews Telling Jokes was kind of like, it was in a weird way sort of like a documentary and ethnological sort of like project.
Right.
And then the guys who did the play with me, Dan Okren and Peter Gethers, they took the material that we had put together on the website and made it into kind of like a review for the off-Broadway play. But I don't think any of that really sort of like sustains as a motion picture. That's why,
sure,
I think of it more of an inspiration, mostly for Elliot Gould's character, but also for some of the themes
sure,
in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Jokes are obviously a huge theme of the film. It opens with Bob dramatically telling one of his jokes. And Elliot Gould, of course, a legend. What was it like working with such great talent?
Well, the thing about being a director is that the more talented people you surround yourself with, the better you look.
Right.
So, it was, so to answer your question, it was great working with such talented people because they were constantly making my ideas and my material and my plans better with their ideas and what they brought to it. So I loved it. It was a joy every day.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that Gould was loving the role. It's a perfect role for him. This kind of goofy joke telling guy, and it's great for Jemaine as well. I loved his character. It seemed like he really had fun because it's both a funny character, but also pent up emotion and lost his wife and all this stuff. And I thought he really nailed it. Was Jermaine somebody you had in mind for a long time, or was it just kind of happen?
No, Jermaine was somebody that I always really liked, and I always kind of was a big fan of his work. I loved him in Flight of the Conchords. I loved him in Eagle versus Shark.
Yeah.
I always kind of felt like Jermaine was the kind of guy where you kind of can't keep your eyes off of him. You're like, he's got a certain magnetism. He's got kind of a real kind of offbeat sort of he's handsome, but kind of in a not like traditional way.
Yeah.
And he's like really smart, and that kind of comes across. And his humor is like very dry. And I don't know, I just always kind of loved him. And so when he expressed an interest in the part, I got really excited, and we met, and, you know, I said, well, can you do an American accent? And he said, well, I never have. And so that became like a little bit of a thing we had to deal with, because sure, I didn't really, the character is kind of a New York character. It didn't feel right for him to be somebody from New Zealand, you know?
So right,
we had to figure that out, but he was really a sport, and he learned how to speak an American accent. I think he was mimicking me at times. but he did great. You know, I think he really pulls it off in the movie.
Yeah, like I said,
Jermaine's like, well, it's interesting, because like Jermaine and Elliot, like, they're both really great performers, but they're very different. And I think part of it is that they're very different parts of their career. You know, Jermaine is like a guy, you know, in the middle of his career, and Elliot is a man who's, you know, done it all.
Right.
And so Jermaine is a guy who, like, he would do it all night if he could, like, just because he's always got a different thing he wants to try. Like, you could do 100, you could do like Kubrick level takes with Jermaine, and he would
right,
not care. Like, he would do 100 takes of, like, you know, looking at a computer and, like, you know, just talking to a computer, just because he has fun with it, and there's always something new he wants to try. Whereas, like, Elliot, and this is true of, you know, I've worked with a fair amount of older actors and more mature actors. Elliot, you know, does it a couple times, and he nails it, and he's like, okay, let's move on.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of funny when the two of them are in the same frame together, because you have to sort of, like, figure out how to manage the way both of them like to work.
Right. Right. I mean, and you can tell everything you said about Jermaine, you can tell that on screen. I mean, my favorite scene in the movie is when he is fending off the advances of Helen, and it leads to the Vespa chase and all that. And it really, you can tell that he's having fun with the role. Even because there, like I said, there's the funny parts and the deeper emotions underneath. He was fantastic. And the supporting cast here is excellent. You have Ingrid Michaelson making her acting debut. How did that kind of come about?
You know, I was actually writing the screenplay, and one of her songs came on, like at one of the streaming services, and I thought, wow, who is this Ingrid Michaelson? She, like, the tone of the song was like so melancholy yet still kind of hopeful,
right?
You know, and I was like, that's kind of a nice tone for this movie. I wonder who this Ingrid Michaelson is. And I started watching her videos, and I kind of, like, you know, started really becoming enamored with her. Like, she's so beautiful, she's so charismatic, and she's so talented, and she's so natural, you know?
Right.
And so I sent her a note, you know, hey, are you interested in acting? And is this something you'd consider? Also, the part is a musician, you know, and I kind of felt like getting a real musician in there would be useful. You know, and she was great, you know, and she brought a lot to the table. She brought a lot to the character, and I loved her performance.
Yeah, she was excellent. So is that something you do? Do you listen to music a lot as you're writing, getting in the right mood and tone as you're working on your projects?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, a lot of times it's like, you know, you'll be writing and you think there might be a good music cue at the time, and so you want to, like, listen to that song or that sort of type of music to think about how the feel of the scene might be.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you don't end up getting the song that you imagined when you were writing it, but it still gives you something to kind of, like, push against in terms of tone, in terms of mood.
Right. Yeah, tell me about some of your other inspirations as you were writing. Were there some films or other pieces of art that kind of inspired specifically this film?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I always really like those Mike Nichols movies that, like back in the day of Carnal Knowledge,
yeah,
where they weren't really comedies or dramas, but they weren't like dramedies, you know what I mean? They were like both comedies and dramas,
yeah,
you know? And because that's what life is, and that's actually like reality. Reality is that there are funny moments and there are sad moments, and that's kind of how we get through it. And I sort of, those the tones of those movies, I think, was always like an inspiration to me.
Yeah.
There's a little sequence in the movie, and maybe you can guess what it is, that I was like, I've done four movies with Wes Anderson, and so there was a little sequence in the movie that I kind of think of as my Wes sequence.
Well, the shot during the Vespa golf cart chase from the sky looked very kind of Wes Anderson. Is that what you're referring to?
No, although you're right. It's actually the little montage where he's describing the community.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And because like Wes really likes to do tracking shots with sort of whip pans.
Yes.
With 90-degree whip pans. And so that was my sort of like Wes montage, because it was all sort of like long, fast, horizontal tracks with that ended on whip pans. You know, of course that's just like a sort of a technical nod to Wes.
Yeah.
But he definitely had a little influence there. And I think that the Jewish humor and the culture of like old Jews telling jokes definitely had a seeping infiltration in terms of the storytelling and the tone of the community.
Yeah. Yeah, and as far as the jokes go that Bob tells, so he you kind of act out the jokes that he's telling in black and white sequences. How did that idea? Is that something you always wanted to do in this piece, or did you kind of go back and forth?
No, that was part of my kind of original concept, was that there would be four jokes, you know, one at the beginning and one at sort of like the sort of act end, first act end, one at the middle and one at the second act end, that would act as sort of signposts, but also be like, I wanted them to sort of like be commentary on the A story.
Right.
So they're the subtext of the jokes, not necessarily the text of the jokes, but the subtext of the jokes is actually sort of like a Greek chorus on what Jermaine's character, the protagonist, is going through.
Right.
So they go from like the first one's emasculation, the second one is not fitting in, the third one is Desert Island, and the fourth one is trying to reconnect with his dad. You know, that's the sort of like the subtext of the four jokes, and they sort of like, you know, shine back on the A story.
Yeah. That's great.
If that comes across.
Oh no, definitely.
Maybe it doesn't need to come across. Maybe it's just like there.
No, I thought that was great, because those are definitely unique pieces in the movie, and so they definitely stand out. That's great. You mentioned little bits of inspiration here and there from, you know, your work with Wes Anderson. Were there any other, you know, you've worked on so many legendary projects and with fantastic directors as an assistant director. Were there anything, and as a producer, was there anything else that maybe inspired you in some way on this film?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, I did a movie with Woody Allen. It wasn't one of the movies in Woody's kind of canon that's going to be known as like one of the great Woody Allen films. It was called Curse of the Jade Scorpion. But I definitely took away a lot from working with Woody in terms of, you know, working with the actors and how his camera interacts with the actors. And there were a few pieces that I sort of thought of as sort of Woody Allen blocking.
Right.
You know, there was also, I did a movie called The Producers, musical that Susan Stroman directed, and Mel Brooks, of course, was sort of like the creative force behind.
Yeah.
And that sort of creative team helped me out a lot with the Mikado stuff, because one of Susan's people, James Gray, came and choreographed that whole sequence for me. And so that's sort of definitely took a lot away from Susan Stroman and how she, you know, blocks musical comedy in the way that we did the Mikado sequence. So yeah, like I took little bits and pieces from everywhere that I worked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
And of course, B.B. Newworth and Eric Bergen were in the movie because I knew them from Madam Secretary.
Right, right. Speaking of some of the other supporting cast, so many of the supporting cast are great. Willie Carpenter gets so many great laughs in this movie. He is hilarious in his role, and the kind of quartet of women in the Mikado are all excellent. Was casting their roles, getting these kind of quirky older retirees, was that a difficult process?
You know, a little bit difficult, but joyful, because, you know, Paul Schnee, who was our casting director, brought in great people, and New York has a depth of just these amazing actors. And you find somebody like, for example, I mean, obviously Annie Potts, who played Ingrid's mother in the movie, is, you know, famous and wonderful. But, you know, you may not know Rosemary Prince, who plays Gert and who is, you know, 87 years old.
Yeah.
But Rosemary Prince was a big soap opera star in her day. You know, I think she was on one of the soaps for 20 years.
Wow.
You know, as a regular. And she came out and she sang and she danced at 87.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just amazing. And she was funny, and her comic timing was, I thought, terrific.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, all of their comic timing was fantastic there. So especially my favorite was Helen, played by
Helen. Yeah.
Yes.
Leclanche Durand.
Yes, she was fantastic. I already mentioned the best scene hitting on Jermaine's character. Fantastic.
I loved her. She was wonderful. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, I first worked with her on a movie. I was a PA on a movie called Awakenings, a Penny Marshall movie called Awakenings, when I first started in New York. And Leclanche Durand was in that movie. And I've kind of known her for a really, really long time. But so it was funny to have her come be in the movie. But she was not, like, when I wrote the movie, I sort of like envisioned this sort of like simmering sex pot. And it wasn't, that's not who she is.
Right.
But yet she made the role interesting, and she made it her own, and she made it real, and she made it funny. And I think she just does a terrific job in the movie. And I love how she rounds out that character just with her humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought she was wonderful. So you've got a lot going on. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, you produce and have directed episodes of Madam Secretary. This film is coming out, releasing in New York on January 12th and in LA on January 19th. Are there any other projects on the horizon for you that you're able to talk about?
Yeah, I'm cooking up some interesting stuff, but I'm maybe going to not talk so much about it.
Sure, absolutely. I understand that. No worries at all.
But soon I'll talk more about it. But awesome. There are some interesting things cooking.
Well, we definitely are going to be on the lookout for those. Humor Me is great. Like I said, it comes out in New York on January 12th and LA on January 19th.
Also, it comes out in Florida.
Too. Oh, does it?
Not long yet. Yeah, it's going to come out in Florida and South Carolina. It comes out on the 19th and the 26th.
Perfect.
All over sort of South Florida. So anybody who's got like a grandmother or an aunt or even a parent who's in the Boca or Del Rey or Fort Lauderdale region for the winter could go check it out and probably stay at the mall for like an early bird special dinner.
There you go. I've got grandparents in Sarasota, so I'll make
Perfect.
Sure to tell them to go check it out.
They got
to
drive east.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for the movie. It was great.
Okay, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. I'm Daniel, You can find me on Twitter at HowittDK. You can follow Next Best Picture on Twitter at Next Best Picture and download the podcast on iTunes and pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Thanks again to our guest, Sam Hoffman, and thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.